Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Moto Albums. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this episode is brought to you by Racetech. Did you know that there are factory teams in the pits at Monster Energy Supercross that rely on Racetech to build their engine? You probably didn't know that because they've signed NDAs that doesn't allow people to find that out, that type of information. Even I can't tell you what that is, but I can very much tell you that is exactly the case. And you can rely on Racetech, and you can save yourself some money by mentioning Big MX Radio when you place your order for parts or if you're sending your engine in for some service. Like I said, I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, a very special guest, someone that I'm looking forward to having on this podcast to sort of dive in through her experience and knowledge and like just her road to where she's got to now. Mina Hami, who is a photographer at Monster Energy Supercross. Mina, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
How are we doing on a Wednesday?
We're doing pretty good. We're getting ready to head out to Detroit. Flights tomorrow, so for Supercross.
It's a home race for you. As for those who are watching on YouTube can see, you're wearing the Detroit Lions cap, signifying not only your alliance to the team, but a hometown race for you.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to go back to the state that I've lived in for about 30 some years and then left.
Fair
So.
enough. Left it behind, much like many of the teams that come to Detroit to find wins, and they leave with the glory and whatnot. But so whereabouts in Michigan are you from?
I'm from Midland, so that's the Tri-Cities area. And then I spent the rest of the time down, like I lived in Jackson, Michigan for about 6 years and then went east toward Detroit.
Not, a lot of good hockey players come out of Michigan. Not exactly known as the state of hockey, but a lot of great hockey players coming out of Michigan. A few good motocross racers, but where do you fit in with all that?
Just
Fair enough. So, like, when it comes to photography. I think there's a lot of different ways that different photographers come to wanting to learn that craft. Where does that story begin for you?
it kind of was like a happy accident.
Okay.
So I spent a good deal of my photography. It was a hobby of mine. I went to college. I went and worked corporate, went back to college, got a master's, and then always had photography in my back pocket because it was something I truly enjoyed doing and capturing moments. I started out in wedding photography, dabbled in portrait, equine, and then smoke grenade photography and got bored. It's really hard out there when the market is saturated with so many wedding photographers, and I wanted to find something a little bit different. And at the time, I had some friends that was getting back, they were getting back into dirt bikes, and
Okay.
an acquaintance kid was getting, he was really, I think he was like 4 or 5 at the time, so he was on a balance bike or however young you start, and they all decided to go get dirt bikes again, and I was like, I want to try, let's see. It couldn't be any different than trying to do equine, hunter jumper, just at a faster pace. It's the same kind of concept. I started with a 60D, so a Canon, and I
Okay.
eventually upgraded everything after a while to a Sony A7IV, and that's what I shoot with today. So, it was like a happy accident. Really enjoyed it, and I was like, I could do this. This would be fun. So I started on amateur level shooting, and then ended up building out Blue Groove in 23 and sponsoring a privateer. Did a helmet sponsor for the Detroit race with Blue Groove Media on it, and then asked to be more involved, and thankfully he took me up on that offer. So that's where I am now.
There you go. Yeah, it all starts with asking if you can be a part of that program. What do you recall about the first time you stepped on the other side of the fence at a motocross race, and whether you did it at a local level, like an amateur level, or when you eventually did so at what I would consider to be like, the professional level, even if that happens to be an even the highest end amateur races are basically a pro race.
Yeah, so I want to say my first big race was at Baja Acre. So it was the Baja Brawl. It was
Okay.
a playgrounds event. And it was so much fun. I kind of got a little scatterbrained because that happens. Like you're trying to figure out which angles, which, you know, where you're going to be. I tried not to so much follow the crowd with it because I knew that those shots kind of would all be the same.
Okay.
And I wanted to be a little bit different. Like you can be different with your editing styles and everything, but the angles that you shoot, depending on what time of day, how the dirt flies off the back of the wheels, like that's, it depends on where you're going to stand, essentially.
Okay. Yep.
So yeah, I went and got like the main shots, the rider shots, the stuff at the gate, and you know, kind of follow the crowd that way. But when people went to like the big like ski jump in the back, I really liked more landscapey kind of backgrounds. So I went maybe toward the table, or you know, went toward this other area and got some really cool shots from that. So sometimes you guys just think out of the box and not always follow the crowd. So you get those like really cool, those awesome shots essentially. But yeah, it was just very exciting to be on the other side and get that media credit, like media pass essentially that at these local tracks and stuff.
Oh, for sure. It's a very proud moment when you can, especially at the pro level or say at an amateur national like Loretta Lynn's, when you put that lanyard around your neck and it's like basically keys to the VIP. I can go anywhere. I can do anything. I can shoot anyone. And I mean photography when I say that, because when I had Derek on the podcast last week, he's like if you're just listening to this, there might be some confusion about what we're shooting. And shooting photos here with Moto Albums. So before we get into looking at some of your photos, I wanted to ask what you really feel has become your signature. How does someone differentiate, or how can someone tell a Blue Group photo from somebody else's just by looking at it? What would you at least hope that they can see?
I would almost hope they see the editing style, because I think, you know, every person has an editing style.
Right.
Every photographer does it a certain way. They either, you know, bring up the saturation on the colors, or they take it away, or they add a cool filter, or, you know, there's something like that. With my photos, I kind of give it this moody dynamic. I used it a lot when I did smoke grenade photography.
Okay.
And on some of my wedding photography. So I took a lot of those influences that I already used and put it into the presets that I made for Blue Groove. So.
Okay. Who is your favorite professional photographer outside of motocross, and why is it Peter McKinnon?
I'm really sorry, but I really don't know who that is.
You don't know who that is? Oh, wow.
He's Canadian. He does a lot of
smoke bomb photography, so I was surprised to hear that.
I don't know. If I don't regularly look at your page, or if I don't talk to you, or if I don't never interact with you, I will forget who you are. And I apologize for all of that. So
Fair enough. So then that being said, who do you get inspiration from, or whose work do you really admire or enjoy?
Like first getting into photography or
in general.
I'm so bad with names.
Mm.
That's so bad. I'm so sorry. Like I just
Derek Crocker. We'll go with Derek then.
Yeah.
Just lie.
Yeah. You know, actually, I know this is like wild and stuff, but I've seen him do, I swear I've seen him do other things, but Mike Pfizer does a bunch of different stuff. And I remember seeing photos that he's done like way back, like scrolling through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, those are sick. Those are cool. Okay. I see this.
Yep. And Pfizer is super underrated. I think he is a underappreciated commodity in the world of motocross. He's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's go straight into this first photo. Where are we? What's set the scene for us? And you tend to gravitate to a lot of black and white photos, or at least those some of my favorites of yours happen to be in black and white. Take us through this one.
Okay, so this was at Unadilla this last year.
Okay.
This was after the big jump in the back, which I'm really bad with names. on things. And that photo is Isaiah Clark. He was coming down from doing that jump. And that particular part of the trek was getting worse and worse and worse in shoot up.
This is coming off of the sky shot for those who are wondering.
Yes, that's what it's named. Thanks. And it was a beautiful day at Unadilla. It was just a great, it was the first time I had been there, because last year was my first full outdoors credential.
Okay.
I had gotten that with FMF and those guys. They got me the credential for the season. And I've never been to upstate New York, and I took that opportunity to kind of travel and go for this. This photo was one of three different angles I took this at, and to me it almost looks like a spine. And so I termed it black and white because I thought it gave it a little bit more where you see like the harsh shadows versus the lights, and it's a lot of contrast in the photograph. So
And like, did you have all, like multiple athletes in a similar pose to this? Why Isaiah?
It just kind of goes to show that like they're trying to avoid this area. Like you got these really like crazy ruts, but everybody avoided it. So it was like going around that section. Some went through it, which I think they lost time. So it's probably why they took the line on the outside. It's probably faster. And actually standing here, I almost got ran over too. So it was a little unpredictable at times. So depending on the rider and who was coming through, I kind of waited. Like if somebody fast was coming off that jump, then I got out of the way. I was like, nope, we're not trying to risk this. I almost got ran over by Cody Shock at one point. So decided not to stand in one of the angles.
Hey, if you haven't had a close call as a photographer at some point, you might not be doing your job. Because, like.
I remember turning around and looking at a fan, and he was like, oh, my God, you almost died.
Motocross the Nations 2023 in France. I was sitting on the side of a jump, and one of the riders from Finland, his back tire landed, like, less than 8 inches away from my head, and like it just sprayed dirt like basically into my ear, and it like kind of ruined my shot, which I was kind of upset about. But like there was I was so far off to the side, like where his tire hit was like very soft and made a big indent. I'm like, sort of tells me that I shouldn't be here. Also, he was very much off course, so we adjusted our path after that. What do we have next year? This is Redbud. This is a different home race for you. And the first thing, can I tell you a few things that stick out in my mind before you explain it?
This one isn't Redbud. This
one's not Redbud?
Yeah.
Where's that? Oh, that is Hangtown. You're right.
Yeah, it's when Chase, I think, went from last to first.
That's right. So you have in the bottom of here, you have Kyle Defoe, who grew up just an hour and a half away from me. He was obviously the mechanic for Chase Sexton in that moment. I believe he's exchanging an embrace there with Jade Dungey, who is now the mechanic for Chase Sexton. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this. The 66, is that not Kyle Wolf walking up to take photos
It could be.
I think it is. But yeah, take me through this. This is a pretty special event.
So there's a lot going on in this. And if you didn't watch this race, you need to go back and watch it. It was awesome. It was, again, a beautiful race day in Hangtown, like up in California. This race was, there's a lot that happened, I believe, at this race. Is this the race that Jack got hurt at?
Yes, this is also that very same race.
That was that race. So he had just come across. So Chase had just come across the finish line. Everybody got the shot that everybody's seen on Instagram. Everybody was rushing toward the podium. And I was like, you know what? We're going to hang back. I'll get there eventually. Because I didn't have like the bright blue bib, I had a dark one. So
okay,
not being paid to
get podium shots.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm just gonna take my time there. I kind of took it all in because it was a very exciting race, and it was like one of those moments that you have to take it all in at once, essentially.
Yeah.
So I hung back and I snapped a few photos. I was diagonal to the finish. So it started walking toward it. The start was like up on this side. And I just kind of shot up. And you see a lot of excitement. You see just a lot of different things happening. Racers coming in. You got AP coming in. I don't know who's over. I think that's Jerry Robin, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Jerry.
There's a lot going on. You see fans excited. It's just, you know, the security person clapping. It's just, there's a lot to going on in this photo. And I just thought it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think there's also, is that Casey Davis with Trans World, or I guess it's Swap Moto, also getting a shot there, right beside Chase Sexton as he's going into the impound there. Like, yeah, it's a very interesting shot, and sort of like, to me, it's almost like this feels like taking a moment to just soak it all in. Like, you sometimes photographers do that with their camera down. But you basically like you seize the moment to be able to like almost give anyone who takes the time to look at this photo, like your perspective or like the photographer's perspective of like this iconic moment where basically, Chase Sexton, after completing one of the most like that'll be a hallmark moment within his career, kind of going into the tent and very triumphantly winning that moto. It was that, and honestly, it was his championship to win after that, or to lose after that.
I had another photo that I was on the fence with, and it was him passing by his mechanic. The only thing in focus was the pit board, and the
okay.
pit board said like, I think it's like 0.06 or whatever it said. And it was an awesome moment too, because he was last, essentially. So,
yeah.
And he was getting to first.
Yeah, that was on the last lap when he's catching AP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that was a really good photo to do. And I chose that one instead, because it's one of those moments where you sit back and you just are enjoying the moment. But you're snapping photos too. Because
yeah.
There's been moments where I'm like enjoying the moment and kind of in just taking it all in. And I'm like, why didn't I snap a photo?
What am I here for again? Oh, yeah, this job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is actually quite the privilege to be able to say, like, we, like, as photographers, when you're on the other side of the rope, like, you get to be sight unseen for some really iconic moments and be able to capture them. It's I always really enjoy it. Here's someone who's probably not enjoying it, although, it looks like they might be, having a slightly good time. Like, you're just sort of embracing the madness here. Clear Vision is basically, I think, should be the caption on this one. But I think I know where this is at. Is this Loretta Lynn's?
Yes, it is. It's Loretta's 2023.
Yeah, basically every photo of mine from this looks just like this, actually.
This one was actually, so this, in this photo is Brad West.
Oh, no.
Yes. I actually have a video reel on my Instagram that went pretty well. And I felt so bad for him. So he has the clear glasses, he told me later, that was because he had stopped in the mechanics area and gotten a brand new one. It was coming around and then got stuck in that, like, literally this mud spot.
Was this coming back towards the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. There's that straight away was an absolute quagmire. I have a couple of photos. I should send it to you. They're not nearly as clear as yours, but I have a couple of shots from that. It's just like, ugh.
It just shows like how that race slipped away.
Mm-hmm.
If you like zoom up, like into the expression in his eyes is just how that race went, essentially. Like, he's like, awesome, this is stuck, not good.
And he's also identified a photographer on the side of the track that's just like, I'm glad someone's capturing this for me. Like,
yeah, probably not in the moment. He was kind of like, come on, like, no, but
yeah,
this is one for the books. And also, like, 2023 Loretta's was my first and last Loretta's.
It was your last.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll go back. I don't know if I feel like, because when I think of Loretta's, this is what I think about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm up for mudding it, essentially. It was a fun time. I really appreciated the experience and I got to check it off my photo goal list, but I would have to be paid a lot of money to go back to Loretta's and shoot, knowing that's probably going to rain for 60-80% of it.
Yeah, this last year was there was only one day where there was a good amount of rain. It was actually it was the practice day. Everything else was just sweltering hot. And I shot Loretta's this last year, and I would say I had fun in certain cases, but for the most part, it was just a grind because I had athletes in damn near every class, and so you walk. You cross the line, like you cross into beyond the fence 7 a.m. and there isn't much like breaks throughout the day. There isn't like a nice photo den to go like dump your camera and tables and all that fun stuff to just like to start uploading photos. Like all that was placed to the end of the day. So I would literally shoot basically from 7 to 6, drive to the hotel, shower, and sort photos until 11 o'clock at night. Fill some drop boxes, and now it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to be up at 5. Like that was my Loretta's.
Yeah. Loretta's 2023 was actually a lot of fun. I had gotten an Airbnb with a buddy of mine, Maddie Media. So,
oh, right on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that one was a fun one. We went on some really fun adventures, trying to find food, ended up almost to Missouri because I'm directionally challenged. Like, it's just a bunch of stuff that happened. But it was a lot of fun. It's one of those races that you have to go to just as like a rite of passage as a photographer, I feel like.
Definitely.
And you meet some wonderful people and then you end up, you know, watching their kids grow on their bikes. And that's like just how it goes. But I don't know if I feel like going back because of the humidity and the weather. It is a lot of fun to shoot though, but this photo makes me not want to go.
Fair enough. Well, so every year when the credential opens, credential window opens for Loretta's, I'll send you this video or this photo and then you'll just be like, yeah, thanks. Thanks for the reminder. Is this one called Flying in Tight Formation or traffic jam in the air? This is quite unique. So the depth of field is sort of a bit lost in the fact that these guys are maybe 15, 20 yards apart, but going in different directions. There's a lot going on here. This is 2023.
Yeah, this is 2023 Nashville, which I'm first and foremost going to say, if you don't have a credential, it's not wise to shoot in the stadium with a camera.
But, oh yeah. Yeah. You are like what, row 20 here?
Yeah. So, we had tickets for the Supercross. So I was working with Cartwright. So, he's the racer that I worked with in 2023.
Okay.
I told him that I wanted to go to two Supercrosses, that were outdoor ones. So I had went to Atlanta to work with him. And then I wanted to do Nashville because Nashville is one of my favorite cities. I think it's technically a home race for him because I believe his parents are in Memphis. And so it was a big one for him. This photo is the 450 main, I believe. And it was after the start. And so you see Chase passing, I think that's Nichols.
Yeah.
in that photo, and then you see everybody in the back.
Are we sure it's a main though? Because Cartwright's in it.
He did make the main.
Just kidding.
I remember that footage. I remember that pit atmosphere. It's just he did make the main.
Okay, I like to bug Cartwright, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was a very unique photo. I took it on my A7IV, but I had a 85 millimeter fixed lens when I took it. So it was a really small, compact lens that I felt that I wasn't going to get in trouble on. It's those big telephotos that are going to get you in trouble if you get caught in security.
Someone walking around like Brown Dog Wilson with like a 600.
Yeah, don't do that. But I even like now realizing like how much work everybody goes through to get a credential and then the things, the different pieces in play and understanding why. I know you want to do it. Don't do it. But sometimes when you do it, it gets you noticed in a good way. So it's like, what are you willing to risk? Because if I did get caught, I'd probably be blacklisted.
Yeah.
And when you're blacklisted, you don't get to shoot anything.
Yeah, there's not really much coming back from that. Like the powers that be, they've been working those jobs for a long period of time. You're talking about the media representative has been doing it for 8 years now. You piss him off and that's like basically a death sentence in so many ways. And there's been some guys who have done exactly that, like basically just rolled the dice with it and they squash any of their opportunities going forward. And, in this case, it works out for you, which is actually funny because the conversation that I had with Derek, he had a photo as well from his very first Supercross that he went to. He's like, yeah, I basically just kind of walked down to the safety holds. I'm like, that's super not okay.
But yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. You will get kicked out and then you will get blacklisted for life or until you profusely apologize and then you get put on probation, given an industry credential, maybe, and then they see what you do with it because they're always watching. So,
oh, yeah.
If you didn't realize you did this or that, they'll tell you. If you posted a video when it wasn't within the 24 hours, 72 hours or 48 hours. I can't remember what it is. I just err on the side of caution of posting like 3 days later at this point. They know. They just know. So if you think that it's a good idea, it's probably not. But yeah.
Fair enough. Hey, say no more. I totally agree with you. But this is a cool shot. Yeah, this is like, you got guys flying in different directions here. Harlan is either getting past or is just past Cartwright. McElrath is in the air. 760. Oh, Clayson as well as... That's Henry... Max Miller. 604. Yeah. My moto autism is working in full effect at this point. Nashville, wild Supercross, definitely one that I need to scratch off my list.
Yeah, there was another photo I took. It was of Chase passing Eli. I have that photo too, and but it's again taken with an 85 millimeter, really small lens, so it's nothing awesome.
Hey, I guess I shoot with a pretty bare bones camera, and I'm always surprised. I've even made some prints of some of my stuff over the years. But here's one of maybe the biggest crowd favorite that we have in the sport right now. I don't think it really matters what the result looks like at the end of the day for a guy like Aaron Plessinger. Obviously the fans want to see him win. And maybe, last year when he ended up getting his win was maybe the biggest cheer he's ever heard, aside from when he won his championships in 2018. But, Aaron Plessinger, whereabouts is this? This has got to be a national, but where is it? Do you know?
I was literally just looking this up. It was Pennsylvania. So is that High Point?
It's High Point. Yeah.
It was High Point. because I was the same race that Master Pool podium
Yes.
and got Kawasaki there 300th win.
300th win for Mitch Payton. Yeah, unbelievable. If they're like Mitch was sitting on 300 national wins for a long time. And if you're taking bets in the pits as to who that rider was going to be that gets that 300th win for Master Pool, like those are some long odds. Probably 300-1, honestly.
Yeah, I think that was also the first time Triumph podiumed with Julie Sewell. I think he
I
was the
believe
third.
so as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of really cool moments at that race. That was a beautiful track. Is it that one that they call it the like golf course? Like it's like a really like country clubs of
The Country Hill of America. I believe Davy Coombs likes to refer to it as that.
It's a beautiful track.
It
Beautiful
is.
track. The fans were awesome. There are a lot of really cool moments, and this was one of them. AP podiumed. I can't remember which place though. And everybody was grabbing that chainsaw.
Nice.
And he, as soon as he grabbed it, I was like, this is gonna be good because he's literally the crowd favorite. The cowboy hat, the American flag in the background. It was a perfect opportunity to be in that position to take that. Again, wasn't trying to be in anybody's way. I try to stay out of the way of the photographers that are meant to, actually get the shots or paid to get the shots.
The iPhone photographer was in your way.
I think it just adds to it because it just adds to the moment. Because you literally have so much going on. The fans super stoked. You see a couple phones in the background, and then you get the iPhone. Like getting past this guy
People
with the
reaching out.
Honestly, this guy with the iPhone ruined a few of my shots, but it's okay. Had to get his moment. Everybody has to get their moment.
I mean, if you stand, like, I don't know who that person was. They
I
clearly were at a
know.
Taylor Swift concert, shortly, prior to, given the bracelet he has on. But like, that must be someone. Like that, like if they're standing there, they're not nobody. So.
They're probably meant to be there. It could have been one of the other photographers. I just. If somebody wants to identify their arms, cool. But
Fair enough.
yeah, there was just a really fun moment and there was so much going on and it just was the perfect opportunity. And I had my wide angle lens on. It's my 24 to 105 millimeter. That was just, I had went back to get. So if I'm shooting these bigger tracks, I usually have my 70-200 millimeter, and I'd have to run back to the pit because I don't have a fanny pack essentially for my camera gear. So I ran back before the race was over, grabbed my wide angle so I could take shots of the podium, and then got back in time to when the guys were coming in. So. Sometimes with the outdoor races, I feel like I have shot enough where I just go and hang out by the podium because you can capture some really good B-roll or you can capture some really good photos of the fans and the things that they do and all the fun stuff. And just capturing that moment when a rider comes in and they're on podium or, whatever. So that was a moment that I was really happy that I went back to get my wide angle on and it just worked out.
What have you shot at every national track so far?
The only one I didn't do last year was Thunder Valley,
Okay.
and that was because I promised my one friend I would do her elopement photography in Moab, and I could not pass that up. So
There you go.
it was so cool. But this year I will be going to Thunder Valley with Beta.
Okay.
We're doing three races, and it's going to be fun to go back and do a race that I didn't do last year, which is actually kind of cool.
That was actually one of the first tracks that I got to shoot back in 2019. And it's a beautiful track. It's basically just draped across the side of a hill. The sun starts off like behind the start and just sort of like just kind of like wraps around the track. So you actually get one of the things I liked about shooting it is the sections of the track with good lighting at 9 a.m. are completely different than they are at like say 2 o'clock or 3. So like you're going to get different opportunities. That, like, you're not going to be shooting like the same corner, or the same jump, the same way throughout the day. The sun kind of helps you out a little bit that way. Yeah, so it's kind of neat. Millville, my home national, my favorite track. This is, you, are you standing on the hill? And this is looking back towards the,
And actually, I don't know, can everybody see the full screen? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a really cool photo. This photo is really special because it has, Henry Miller, Grant Harlan, and Ryder Floyd in the photo. And at the time we were living in Texas, and all these guys are Texas guys and race and train at Oak Hill and everything else. So it was a very, I don't know, it was just one of those perfect, happy photos that you get to get all three of them in one photo.
Yeah.
Which it was like just really cool.
It doesn't happen often. Especially for privateers, all kinds of variables can happen. Henry Miller from the area of Millville, historically, he hole sharded it one year and then augered himself in. I'd like to think that's not what he's known for, but I think that might be it. Unfortunately, aside from being an absolute badass on a dirt bike and, just a hard on his sleeve privateer. But yeah, all three of these guys do a lot of training down in Texas and, they're all around the same age too. Like I think, Henry might be, he's in the middle. How old's Grant?
He'll be 24 this year.
Okay. And then, yes, I know, but like Henry has to be older than him. And then I think Ryder actually might be the one in the middle, but.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Everybody looks like age, like to me, like everybody's somewhere in their 20s or 30s. Like it just doesn't. It's fine.
Yeah, let's just call them all 27 years old. But very neat. And yeah, this so there's the basically kind of like a fire road that goes in behind. There's a bit of like a it's like a ditch that separates the final straightaway, the finish line, and this section right here. And this is this is last year?
Yeah, this is last year.
This is last year. That's right. Cause the Grant's got the 23 on the bike there. I think I'm standing like I'm just off screen because I'm standing in the announcing tower, just to the left. So you must have cropped me out, which is fine.
yeah, I think I shot this one vertical.
Okay.
but the other thing too is that I really wanted to get riders in focus or one of the riders in focus with that Millville sign.
Yeah.
And because that thing's cool.
Like,
I wanted a photo that literally had the right angles in it. And this one, just one of those happy accidents. Like, you know, you're just clicking all the way and hope something goes out with it. This photo looks good in color, but I think it looks better in black and white.
Yeah, I myself, like I'm a sucker for black and white photography, the contrast, the way it sort of like, it cools things down a little bit. Like I feel like a photo of when, especially with motocross, it's such a vibrant sport that sometimes it can look a little bit busy. Whereas this sort of like, it almost like kind of calms down the situation. It like almost brings like a slow motion to a still image, if that makes sense. And, it's super neat to be able to go to an outdoor national and a supercross. The vibe is just different to me. Whereas like you go to an outdoor national and like these are enthusiasts and oftentimes practitioners watching the best at the world do what they cannot do. Make what is impossible to them seem extremely easy. All at the same time, doing the sport at a level and a duration that the weekend warrior can never even fathom. Like, I remember going to Millville, not this year, it would have been 2014, but my best lap time was a 2:12, but we weren't doing the hill. So minus the hill, Eli Tomac was running a 1:57. So he's about 15 seconds a lap faster than me, including going up this great hill and coming all the way back down it. And I was by no means slow that particular day. And it just blows me away that, yeah, like me doing that lap, and that was my best lap. And I'm maybe good for that, like 25 minutes tops. And I'm honestly being a little bit generous to myself, probably closer to 15. And those guys like Grant, guys like Henry and Ryder, like they hover around the same lap time for the better part of 40 minutes. And it really speaks volumes to just their dedication to the sport, because you can't fake that.
Yeah.
So that's maybe, if I want to get romantic about this sport a little bit here and there, which I often do, that to me is just what the Nationals is all about. So yeah, what else can you tell me about this photo? I do also like that the audience, or like the fans in the foreground, are also sort of blurred out. I don't know, did you do that in post-production, or is this that just how this worked out?
Nope, just how this photo worked out. I think in that photo, I'm like trying to look at it a little closer. I think for a good chunk of these outdoor races, I think Grant's the one that's in focus in this one. So I think I was seeing him coming through, and it just happened. He was trying to catch Henry, and I don't think he ever did. I'm not sure if he did or not.
Well, it's Henry's backyard, so.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did, but I think he was behind him for a good chunk of that race.
Is this also when we bring up the fact that I'm pretty sure Henry Lynn was on a practice bike that weekend?
I am not sure if he was or not.
He was. I talked to him at press day. Like I said, I was at this race.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with the people in the background. There's someone just sitting.
Some iPhone photography happening.
Somebody with a stroller. Somebody coming back up. Probably got really close to the track and then told to move by an official. Issues sometimes where we have fans or
shirtless guy with a credential.
Yep, you got that going on. There's just a lot of iPhone photographers. And
yeah, this guy's looking at that guy being like, you shouldn't go there.
Yeah, he was just kind of enjoying himself.
I love this.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right there. I'm pretty sure that's like industry people, because.
Yep.
Yeah, industry.
Where were you when it started raining during this moto?
Oh my God. I was by the podium.
Okay, good.
I was 100% by the podium, but then getting yelled at to move because I didn't have the light blue vest. And so I got to stand out in the rain for a little bit to take some photos. And I don't think I got podium shots because I valued my camera more than the shots themselves. So yeah, I started going back up as soon as it started to downpour.
Fair enough. I literally, as I actually did a lap of the, we actually might have been close to each other when you took this, because I took this moto to basically like walk a lap around the perimeter. And sometimes I just like to just sort of walk a lap to sort of see where everyone's at and like just like different unique areas of the track. So I was probably not far from this, but literally the big fat raindrops started falling as I was walking up into the site, like the original, like it's not the actual announcing tower. It's like essentially the amateur announcing tower that they have when they do local races, or at least the old one. So that small one next to the start. It's on the other side. It's on like the outside of the first corner. So yeah, that's where I was at, and I remember it fondly. But yeah, you're nuts for standing in the rain the way you do. And that's it. That's all, girl.
Yeah, I didn't have rain gear that one. I think I had my rain coat on and a hat. And as soon as those big raindrops started, like I'd feel them through my hat, I was like, crap.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting. But yeah.
Last thing I have for you before I let you go here on another episode of Moto Albums is, what advice would you have for a young aspiring photographer in motocross, or even just in whatever it happens to be? What would be your best piece of advice for a young person that's looking to get into it?
I would say never give up, because you will have a lot of doors or opportunities kind of not go your way. you will put out so many feelers for different things and people won't message you back. Don't get discouraged. It's just, you know, you keep at it and you keep asking questions, and one day a photographer will answer your DMs, or you will get the opportunity to shoot a big race that, you know, you've worked really hard to do. And then when you get there, be humble about it. Don't like be all like braggy or anything on using your social media and stuff like that. Be humble. And that goes a really long way with people. I know I get a lot of DMs about getting into races and media credentials and all that stuff. Just to let you know, a rider can't always get you a media credential. The best they can get you is an industry pass. But even with that, just be careful. You don't want to ruin your chances before you even a chance to show like what you can do. And also be respectful of the photographers that are there before you. The biggest thing that you don't want to do is piss off one of the greats that are already taking photos. Just, you know, be humble, be kind, be aware of your surroundings when you get there. And, you know, make sure you just have fun and not lose sight of who you are.
That's some sound advice. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can people follow along your journey and continue to consume your content?
You can do Blue Groove Media on Instagram. I don't really post on Facebook. I'm not on X. I don't really care about Threads. But you can also catch a lot of my work on Beta USA's page on Instagram, because that's what I do now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will post on Blue Groove. Mainly it's behind the scenes of us traveling, or, you know, that being a moto photographer and you get that kind of cool stuff, but actual photos, I do it for Beta. So, all my stuff is on Beta USA.
Fair enough. Well, with that, I tell you to tell Benny that he's too tall and tell Mitchell to go back to Staples, and he'll understand what that means. But yeah, thank you so much for making the time today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.